is the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, Christopher Hahn.
Are you on a delay, Curtis? I think you are. Hey, it's the left and the right. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa. We are back for another round of conversation here in the greater New York area, but coming to where you are around the world. How you doing, big guy?
Not too good.
You know, you're supposed to open the show.
I know.
I'm sitting here waiting.
This is the second time.
I don't know. I think
there's sabotage here.
It's not my guy.
No. It's stacking the deck for the left. There's no doubt about it.
I don't know. I got all these millennials and hipsters back there. They're all on my side.
I got to tell you, it couldn't have been any more of a miserable night and day. You know, here it is at the head of the Lunar New Year Parade.
Were you the Grand Marshal?
No, but celebrated because not only did I win the Asian vote in the recent mayoral campaign, but as you know, the Guardian Angels are protecting Asians.
And
from
you
all
wear
the
red.
That's
which
right.
is the major color of Asian New Year.
Right, so we're marching down Mott Street. People applauding Guardian Angels. Thank you. 368% increase in attacks on Asians. Hey, I would have thought, you know, like, these are not people who are listening to me overnight radio,
no,
right?
I don't think so.
They were.
They were.
Groupies of the Beatles. I mean, so many people. I'm so disappointed in you.
I got a call from Paul McCartney. He was like, I don't understand what I do. I'm just a nice guy. I'm just out there.
There's some things you do on the radio at times. You wish you could only take it back.
You know, look, I have a very eclectic taste in music. I like grunge is my main thing, but when I'm not listening to grunge, I am listening to the Beatles.
Yes.
Beatles were my gateway to grunge, really,
well,
frankly.
Well, look, there's you. My wife Nancy is upset with me.
Right.
Tony Orlando is upset with me. I had a great program last night.
Did you ever think in your life that Tony Orlando would be upset with
you? Well, rightfully so. Rightfully so. He's going to call me up tonight at 9 o'clock. Everyone's giving me grief because I'm not on the Beatlemania wagon.
How is this even possible? Like, what tragedy in your life led you to be anti-Beatle? Did you date a girl who said, you know what, I'm in love with Paul McCartney and you're not cute enough for me?
Yeah,
is that what happened?
Was, Bonnie Goldstein there.
Bonnie Goldstein.
She had the pictures of Paul McCartney everywhere.
Yeah.
She gave me no play. It's traumatic. It's deep. And then Ringo, people attacking me because I said he wasn't a great drummer.
Peace and love. You're wrong about Ringo, by the way. And by the way, you need to do your penance. You need to watch all 12 hours of the Get Back documentary on Disney Plus, like right now.
How do I do that? My wife, being the hipster millennial, has cut the cord.
I'm sure she has Disney Plus. Disney Plus, you don't need a cord for. I'm sure she has it. I'm sure she's watching Boba Fett and everything else on there. So just put that on. And watch it. First of all, you will have a new appreciation for Ringo's drumming. And you will have a new appreciation for the way these guys created music. To me, it was like hanging out with them for 12 hours. I loved it. I watched every minute of it.
I know. And you told us a story last week, same time, same place, about how you watched Paul preparing for his concert up in Toronto.
Yep.
You had come in through the door unbeknownst to security.
Yeah, just walked into the Sky Dome in Toronto.
And it was the best time you ever had.
Ever had. I yelled out to him, hey, we love you, Paul! And the security guards came running towards me, and they did not throw me out because they were Canadian. They were very polite. They're like, what you doing, eh? What you doing? I was like, I'm freezing. It's December, and it's Toronto, and I came up from New York, and I thought I was going to tailgate.
Maybe I should just stick to my commentary on politics, cultural, social issues, and sports, and eliminate my observations.
I mean, you're
about
the only
scene.
Person I've ever met who just – I have people who don't want to listen to the Beatles all the time like
understood,
I do.
Understood.
But I've never heard anybody say, you know, I hate the Beatles. I loathe them. I despise them. I've never heard that from anyone.
This is like an attack on mom, apple pie, and the flag.
Yeah. Yeah, like these holy rollers that don't let their kids listen to rock and roll music will give an exception to the Beatles.
I know, but when I'm marching at the end of the parade,
right,
there's a whole group of baby boomers, Chinese-American women, looking at me with disgust. What did I do?
You think you'd get the Asian vote now? I don't think so.
And they love Paul.
They do. They like Paul.
They love Paul McCartney.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to do, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church, you had to do your mea culpas, mea maxima. I'm going to have to do Stations of the Cross,
yep.
The Rosary, Our Fathers, Hail Marys.
I think you need to find that religion where they beat themselves.
Oh, yeah.
The Shias. No, there's
yes.
a Catholic part, too.
Oh, that's in the Philippines. They crucify themselves on Easter.
They beat themselves with, like, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah,
like
but the Shias do that also.
Yeah, you should become that and just beat yourself up.
This is not a good day for me.
No, no. How was Valentine's Day, speaking of good days? I mean, did you wear red?
It was of course I wore red. I always wear red.
Yeah.
And my wife could not be happier. I brought this magnificent bouquet of flowers. All the cats, all 16 cats jumped up
they
and started
them.
Sniffing them. No.
No.
So they liked the aroma of this bouquet. I don't know. I didn't put it together. One of the guys put it together. But, I mean, my wife, Nancy, was for toots.
One of the guys, you mean one of your angels did it for you?
No, one of the guys in the florist.
Got it.
You know, he said,
you go
like
out
this.
To dinner?
Of course.
Where'd you go?
Of course. A vegan place.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, my wife's vegan.
I did not know your
yeah,
wife
Yeah, and in honor
vegan.
Of Eric Adams, I had to prove that I could actually eat a
did
vegan meal.
Did you have some fish?
No fish.
You're not a pescatarian?
No. I eat fish, but that's the night of the seven fishes. Which is right before New Year's.
We went out to dinner. We went to a place out on Long Island, Bliss. It was awesome. We had a good time. We go there all the time. But you know, it was. It's a little like having Valentine's Day on a Monday. Is just a little bit.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, it was the height of the week for me, Valentine's Day, because
right.
I was a hero at home to my wife.
Because you got this big bouquet of flowers. You didn't do what Kanye did. You didn't have trucks of roses come.
No. And then all of a sudden she goes, "Why are you trashing the Beatles? I love the Beatles." It's like, I got to stick to politics, cultural, social issues, and sports.
Yeah, like I said, don't run for office again. Yeah. That's not for you.
Yes.
Right? And stop talking about
music.
Yeah,
well, that's one thing the Asians were telling me, run again, because we're getting attacked in the streets.
Well, I mean, that's a horrible thing, and that's got to stop. I mean, this is, that's something that the mayor needs to crack down on, and not just here in New York. It's happening all over the country.
Now, speaking of popularity, we know how popular the Beatles are. I found that the hard way,
yes.
The blowback I got. But, and Channel 11 picks at
yes.
night at 11.
Yeah.
You were telling me, and it's true, I double-checked you, I had some doubts.
Yes.
Because Channel 11 usually can't compete with a major network.
They don't compete at any time except
at 11 p.m.
And
you
right.
were right. I looked at the ratings, and my wife loves Seinfeld.
Yeah.
All the reruns, you know, she can't get enough of it.
I watch it every night before I go to bed. And quite frankly, it's on Netflix now. You can watch it anytime you want, but I still want to watch it at 11 o'clock before I go to bed on Channel 11.
Well, with Channel 11 picks, you get the commercials, Netflix.
I don't know why. I can't sit down. I bought the DVDs years ago. Years ago, I bought the DVDs when
they first
came out. Yeah. Well, no, I bought the first like five seasons. There was a box set, and I didn't buy the rest of them because I just didn't watch them. But I do watch Seinfeld every night at 11 o'clock. Except for Saturday night, because
so
it's not on.
You're
Saturday.
Like people who watch Jeopardy every night at 7,
yeah,
right?
I do. I try to watch Jeopardy, too. I don't watch it all
God.
The time, but I'm not
what
always
kind
home
of
at 7.
A life do you have? You're watching Jeopardy at 7, Seinfeld at 11.
I was made for COVID, right? I like just staying home. Like, nothing's really changed for me, other than I don't have to go
there
anywhere.
There was one episode that I liked that my wife played. She said, "You're going to like this." You know, supposedly they're flying to Europe. Oh. The plane has a problem. It lands somewhere
yeah, yeah,
in Maine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're standing around and they witness a crime and they don't get involved. And the Maine police arrest them.
That's the episode you pick.
That's
the final episode.
Well, of course, because they weren't vigilantes. Yeah. You know, and I say, yeah,
they
lock them
laughing.
Up.
They were
lock
laughing.
Lock them, put them in prison.
They had a camcorder and they were making fun of the little old lady getting mugged. It
yes.
was horrible.
Yes.
In Maine or something like that.
That was the only yeah. episode I ever watched. I really liked that one because I wanted Jerry and the crew locked up, throw away the key with the mooses in Maine.
Well, you should be watching all of it because that episode basically brings back all of these little side characters they met along the way and they're testifying. Testifying against them in court. I thought it was a great way to end.
Well,
the show.
My wife just plays it over, you know, on a loop.
Yeah.
On a loop.
I watch
over
it
and over and over.
Channel 11 plays it on a loop. It's actually on two loops. There's an 11 o'clock loop and an 11:30
All right, but
loop.
This defines, as popular as Seinfeld is, and you're right, I looked at the ratings. I didn't believe it, Ted.
Yeah.
Channel 11 has more ratings than 2, 4, 5, 7,
yeah.
9.
It's the number one show in New York at 11 o'clock.
All right, and who's their main advertiser?
Well, right now, their main advertisers are these sports books, including a sports book that basically took over that half-hour time slot for a couple of days. I was freaking out.
You had texted
me at like 11:15 some story that you wanted to talk about, and I was already getting ready for bed. It was the last thing I saw before I went to bed because I turned on Seinfeld at 11 o'clock, and there was like a FanDuel commercial on for an hour. And I'm wondering why they're not sponsoring us, frankly.
I got to tell you, legal gambling has skyrocketed in New York.
Yeah.
It might save fiscally some of the problems that we have. Because, you know, once the stimulus money runs out, and eventually that runs out, reality is going to hit. But now that the mob can't dominate making money on gambling, and you don't have to get on your English racer and go across the George Washington Bridge and play the app in New Jersey, people are betting here, and it's hurting the casinos in Atlantic City.
$70 million.
That's not the Super Bowl.
I don't even know. I don't even think that includes the Super Bowl. $70 million in January. The state took in. The state, that was its tax revenue.
And you know how I know it's hurt them? There are certain wire rooms that exist, and you know it because they have the big dishes on the roof.
I mean,
massive dishes that no individual owner-operator
has. It's not DirecTV.
It would cause a normal roof to collapse. Right. It's a wire room.
You don't want to stand near it because you're going to get cancer.
Right. The Bananos, Lucchese's, Colombo's, Genovese, Gambino's, the big money maker. And those dishes are no longer there, which means they've closed those wire rooms.
Right.
Now, the only advantage
you
have...
I had no idea that even existed.
Yeah, the only advantage you have in a wire room is they give you credit.
Right.
You don't get that on the app. Well, they give you some free money to begin with.
You have a credit card, right? I'm hearing people, like, these stories of people that have, like, lost, like, 10 grand already on this stuff. I'm like, yeah.
But they always double back and say, and we have Gamblers Anonymous here. For all of you who end up losing your home, losing your car, losing your clothes, being homeless on the street.
Yeah, yeah, they give
riding
you the hotline.
Riding the subways,
they
don't the worry about it. Yeah. We give you the hotline.
You lost your house? Well, go live on the subway. There's
and by the
that.
Way, Eric Adams will discuss it later. Our mayor says he's finally going to remove the homeless and emotionally disturbed on the subways.
Well, we'll see what happens.
But not arrest anybody.
No arrests. We'll be right back.
It's the left versus the right. It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Chris Hahn. Are we back?
Ah, there we are. We're back.
We're back. All right. This time I bogarted you.
Yeah, I was supposed to bring us back.
Now the boards have said. Now, I'm beginning to think, Chris, that this game of chess between Vladimir Putin and Russia and our president, Joe Biden, more so our president, Joe Biden, than our allies, is to both Putin and Biden's benefit. They both have domestic issues they'd rather not grapple with.
Right.
It's going to take both of them a long time to deal with it. But every day that they are the lead story, where Putin flexes, you know, the might that the Russians like, and Biden reacts in a very diplomatic way, but sort of it's like saying they're going to invade.
Yeah.
In fact, just as we came on the air, the latest story, in fact, John Katsimatidis, our owner-operator, sent it to me. Russian commanders are given the orders to invade the Ukraine.
Mm.
It's like every day we're getting closer and closer. Both sides benefit because I'm looking at it from this perspective. Putin, by flexing, means that the oil prices around the world go up.
Yep.
Russia, obviously, is a big supplier of oil products, so they're making more money.
Well, there's
money.
Clearly going to be a disruption in their flow of energy to Europe should he invade.
Right.
You know, Biden has promised to shut down some of their pipelines.
But right now, he's making mad money like a lot of other countries are because the prices escalate.
Yep.
Meantime, Joe Biden is seeming to be a president who has NATO interests, who is geopolitical. He seems to thrive better in that atmosphere than the domestic atmosphere.
Yep.
So every day he wants to have a press conference.
About Putin.
hey, they're going to invade today.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, wow, I think we're both being played. We're all being played because both sides benefit. And it makes sense. Putin makes money. He gets to be the strong man.
You think that's what they talked about when they were at that summit a couple of weeks ago?
No, I don't think it. I think it's an understood both right. sides posturing. And the guy in the middle, remember, Mr. Quid Pro Quo, when Trump was president,
yes.
the king of all comedy, the young president of Ukraine, they're telling him, our side is telling him, stay in Kyiv. Don't come to Munich. They may sack you.
Act afraid.
Right.
Don't play your part.
He's saying, why?
You're an actor. We're asking you to stay there and act like you're about to be invaded.
He's saying, but you're killing my economy. People are beginning to lose faith in my administration.
Right. I'm about to get shot and not by Putin.
I'm coming to Munich, and if they close the airspace, if the Russian Air Force closes the airspace, I'll just Uber back from
right.
Munich to
I'll
Kyiv.
Hitchhike.
Right.
Right.
So, and yet he went, no problems. He got back. And I think he stole some of the thunder from Vice President Harris, who actually had a good day.
She had
early
a pretty good
day.
I think she was very presidential, dare I say.
Yeah, well, she
comments.
Seemed to have the coalition behind
yep.
her.
Yep.
They didn't seem to be sort of like bucking her her presence.
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden, the king of all comedy showed up and said, y'all are screwing us.
Right, right, right,
why
right.
Don't put the sanctions
well, he,
now.
He has been saying that for, you know, in the vice president's defense. He's been saying that for a couple of weeks. He's like, are you going to sanction them or are you going to wait till they kill
yeah, but
me?
It suggests to me that if you're going to put the sanctions in, let Putin feel a little of that fiscal pain compliance.
I agree. Why don't we have, you know, all of these oligarchs have yachts and property in Western Europe and in the United States and around the world. Let's start seizing some of those. See how they feel about it.
But think about it. If, in fact, Putin invades part of the way, a little of the way, the full way, and sacks the king of all comedy there as the president, I think that just strengthens Biden's hand. I don't think that weakens him. Because nobody here, I don't get a sense, Republicans or Democrats, conservatives or liberals, want us to put troops or our Air Force in
nobody
harm's way.
Nobody wants troops to go there.
Right.
Nobody.
But still, if he acts like, yeah, I'm trying to bring everybody together, I'm trying to conciliate this. Now we see the king of all comedy, the president of Ukraine, is saying, I want to sit down with Putin. He blew it the first time. He had to sit down with
yeah,
Putin.
Yeah, yeah.
And he started making jokes to lighten Putin up because, you know, Putin is stone-faced.
Yeah. He's a killer. He's a killer.
And Putin said to his folks, this guy thought he was doing a comedy show in front.
Right, right.
No. I'm not dealing with him anymore.
You're not on a sitcom anymore, Mr. Valinsky.
This poor
you're
guy.
You're the president
remember,
of a country I want to control.
This poor guy, the president of the Ukraine, young guy.
Yeah, he's like 35 or something.
Not your typical oligarch. Right. He gets in the middle with Trump, with the quid pro quo. He's vilified because of that. And now he's being vilified by NATO as saying, just stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Don't
let us handle it.
Let us handle it. And he's going, yeah, but you're going to give everything up?
Yeah.
Without including us?
Bottom line is we can't appease the guy. We can't let him take Ukraine because what's next? Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland. All right. We got more to talk. We'll talk more about this on the other side. We got a lot to do. Left versus right. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa. Be right back.
It's the left versus the right debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
All right.
What jam is this?
Oh, a little Pearl Jam is what this is, my man. Chris Hahn, Curtis Lee, we're back with you. A little Pearl Jam. I've seen these guys in concert twice. Once when they were at war with Ticketmaster. They did it over at the Icon Stadium over on Randall's Island. That was a fun show. Blues Traveler showed up with them. It was great. And then I saw them at the Garden after they patched things up.
Pearl Jam, I would say mezze mezze poco poco. We have that statement in Italian, half and half. I don't dislike them, but I don't sort of like adore them.
Great show, great band. You know, great look. It was Pearl Jam, Nirvana, and Soundgarden all came out that same time in 1991, like right around each other, and completely changed music for me.
Now, I would say probably President Joe Biden does not know much about Pearl Jam, if anything, but I would think Vice President Harris does.
Pearl Jam? Put that on toast?
Did you say toe jam?
Did you put that on toast, Pearl Jam?
But the point being
let me tell you what the deal is. I'm working on my Biden. It's not quite there yet.
as you know, for any president, probably the most lasting appointments that they ever make
yes.
is the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah.
A new justice. President Joe Biden has that opportunity now. I thought it was like in the easy pass lane, slam dunk.
I thought it was going to happen by now. I've been saying, what is taking you so long? It's been 28 days. This is a long time to wait to announce this pick. Now, it could have something to do with Senator Luan of New Mexico, who had a stroke about 3 weeks ago and won't be returning to the Senate for a couple of weeks. But the appointment's not going to get to the Senate probably for at least 60 days. They got to do hearings and things of that nature.
But that would anticipate that every Republican on that floor is going to vote no.
Right, which I don't think is the case. I would imagine it's not the case because, look, it's not going to change the balance of power in the court.
Right.
And generally speaking, there are some people who still believe that the president has the right to make their pick.
And other than if Joe Biden were to pick Angela Davis from Birmingham, an avowed communist, or reach out to Assata Shakur, Joanne Chesmard, who's protected in Cuba, I have a feeling whatever African-American woman that he picks, unless there are some negative things about her that we have no idea about.
Well, guarantee that we will find there will be some right-wing media star that will determine that this person's a communist, anti-American, no matter what their story is, no matter what they've done in their career.
Well, you know what it may be? The reason they're delaying is they don't want to give a lot of time for people to do a lot of negative research, to do a deep dive.
Well, also it could have to do with this whole Ukrainian crisis, which has really devoured the president's time.
Well, let's face it. He wants it to devour his time. Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of answers for some of the other domestic problems.
I think this is the week. I'd like to see this appointment this week, Mr. President. I think it's time to do it. I don't care what's going on in Ukraine. I care, but you should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Now, Chris, the big issue, bar none, people who are apolitical, who are not strong apparatchiks like you are or I am, it's really the prices that people are paying. They're feeling, they walk into a retail store, they walk into a supermarket, grocery store, they go to a gas station, they're feeling it, you know, and there are people who we take it for granted that, well, people, they have a little bit of flexibility. There are some people out there, man, they have their budget figured out day by day, week by week, month by month, and this is blowing them out of the water, which makes them mad. And you know, in an election cycle, the only outlet they have is to say, who's responsible for this? It looks like it's Joe Biden, the Democrats, so out you go.
I agree. And again, inflation and prices are not the president's fault, but they are his problem, right? Always has been. Clinton said it best. It's the economy, stupid. James Carville, that big statement. People feel that the economy is not working for them. It doesn't matter what stats you show them. It doesn't matter that you show them that your revenue, your incomes are up in this country. It doesn't matter that you show them that GDP has grown faster than it has in 50 years and that we have practically full employment in this country. We've got 11 million open jobs, frankly, right now in this country. People say, oh, my God, I'm paying, you know, double for a gallon of milk, triple for a gallon of gas. I can't buy a car. Now, look, kicking those truckers off that bridge in Canada is going to help, but it's not going to solve everything.
All right. So if you were a consigliere, if you were an advisor, because you're a pragmatic, common sense Democrat,
right?
You're not arguing this is going to hurt Democrats and specifically Biden and Harris. What can he do? He's only got like a year to go for the midterm.
Biden's got to play on his strength, which is empathy. We can't just, you know, I think Democrats right now think they're going to say, look at all these things that happened that are good. And there are a lot of good things. He's got a lot of good things in his record, especially in the economy. No, you got to empathize with the way people feel. And
you got to become Scranton Joe again.
Yeah, you got to be Scranton Joe. You got to go out there. You got to say, like Clinton, I feel your pain. You got to go out there and talk to the American people as if you are part of the fight. Is that you are feeling this pinch too, that your family relate to people. It's what Biden has been best at his entire career. I'm shocked. Look, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked.
This is his strength.
I'm not shocked because Washington Democrats always get it last, right? They get it last. They don't see the train come until it's run them over four times, backed up, picked up more passengers, ran them over again. It's what's happening right now to Joe Biden. He does not see it. His people are not sharing this with him. They are not seeing that the American people have a fear of how they are going to pay their bills, a fear of what's going on in this country with prices. He's got to get out there. It's not the crime thing that Republicans are talking about. Nobody cares about the truckers in Canada. The COVID crisis has got us all in this place where we are uncertain and don't feel good. And Joe Biden's got to go out there and say, you know what? I get that.
He has to because, look, look at what happened in this past week. AOC, I call her all-out crazy, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, leader of the Democratic Socialists of America, media darling.
I wouldn't say she's the leader of anything, but go ahead.
But they take this.
She's a star.
Well, she controls money. She can allocate huge sums of money to her campaign.
She raises a ton of money, yeah.
And as a result, she doesn't just give money out. She says, look, there's a certain number of principles here that you got to sign off
on. Right, right, right.
If you want to get reelected with our blessing, or if you're running for office the first time. You know, that's strength, that's power. She issued a statement that it's not at all been pimp slapped down by the Biden administration, that the reason we're seeing so many smash and grabs and so much looting and shoplifting in stores across America is that the child tax credits no longer exist because they came to an end. And that's why you see adults going in and getting baby
You tell me. I mean, you know, you're out there patrolling. What are people stealing from Duane Reade? We've had this conversation like a dozen times.
Yeah, but it's not just Duane Reade.
It's funny. I was on Kennedy.
Yes.
The show on Fox News on Monday or Tuesday. I was thinking about you because this was the topic. And we didn't even discuss that we were going to talk about this day. But I talked about this. And I was thinking about you sitting here telling me about people going in there and stealing food, just walking out of Duane Reade with bags, shopping bags of food.
Well, not so much food. Items that they can move quickly. Shampoo, it's like currency in the street. Conditioner, currency. Unload it quick.
Not if we're on the street. Nobody's
going to us.
Or Sid,
but
or any of the other
You can go into beauty parlors, hair, and they'll buy $2, $3, $20 bottle of shampoo or conditioner.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell it hasn't been cracked. You know, the seal is still there.
I think that there's a lot of reasons for crime, right? There's a lot of reasons people will do crime. Could this be one of the reasons that are encouraging some of the people to do it? Possibly. I wouldn't say it's the only reason.
Well, the problem is when it affects the urban areas like New York, Chicago, LA, these are blue areas. These are areas that are probably not going to be moved to become red. But when it's hitting Walmart, Sam Walton is turning in his grave because he's got all his greeters there who are usually senior citizens or people who are somewhat impaired. They may have autism or something. And people are saying, can I have that Walmart bag? Oh, of course, you know, because it's supposed to, or the customer's already. And then you see the same guy just walking out. He's just filled up his bags. And you can't do that. He said, go ahead, try to stop me. You can't touch
this.
Well,
look, I mean, the child tax credit reduced child poverty in this country dramatically. And the Democrats wanted to renew it. And the Republicans blocked it. It's not happening right now. So that means there are more children that are at risk for poverty in this
country. Right,
I don't think you make the connection.
But
you and I are both parents.
Yes.
You know, if I was in a situation, you know, there but for the grace of God go I, that where I couldn't feed my kids or I couldn't give my kids what they wanted, I don't know what I would resort to. So is it possible that it's contributing to it? Yes. Is it the only factor? I don't think so.
Well, remember, she went from the summer of 2020 after Floyd was killed in the streets of South Minneapolis by the police, to saying that all that looting was so that a person can get a loaf of bread. We know that was not because they were stealing designer items, limited edition.
And
they were focused
And the mainstream Democratic Party called out that looting, called out the rioting, called up the disruption, the mass disruption. And now the right wing with these stupid truckers blocking bridges, blocking businesses, blocking the international border. 3 weeks, Canada does nothing about it. They finally do something about it. It is a nonstop, you know, cry fest. I was going to say another word. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about dogs here.
Let's on
right wing media. Look, those truckers, I'm all for protest. I'm all for it. I'm all for disruption. If you want to disrupt for a day, that's fine.
Wrong with
You don't do it for 3 weeks and disrupt an economy completely. No, that's not how
it works.
Eventually, Occupy Wall Street was confined to a park. By the way, right next to an office I had down on Liberty and
I'm
Cedar.
Sure you were down there, you know, high-fiving.
No, can I tell you something? It was very strange because I would put on a suit and tie. I go down to my office on Liberty and Broadway, okay, Cedar and Broadway, and it's Zuccotti Park is right there. I'd come in, they'd be there banging the bongos when I walk in the morning. I'd come out in the afternoon, there'd be girls topless.
It was Haight-Ashbury.
I was like, what's going on here?
Haight-Ashbury.
It's very rare you see a topless woman in the wild. You know, so it was very strange. But I would get into a car to go to Fox News from there to talk about it. But they didn't block the street. They stayed.
They blocked the bridges. They blocked everything.
They did it for a day. Right, and then they got arrested. right? Because that's what happens in New York City. You're allowed to protest under our Constitution. You're not allowed to block commerce.
But it goes beyond that. Seizing bank accounts because
they
happen to send 30 money.
Crypto accounts that were responsible for pushing this thing along in Canada. I don't know what their law is in Canada, but here's the thing.
But here's the thing.
Let's talk about these guys.
That's draconian.
These guys are taking a minor inconvenience like getting a COVID shot, something you and I both did. I did it 3 times. You did it 2 times. Okay. This minor inconvenience of getting a COVID shot. And they're saying it's an assault on their freedom. It's nonsense. It's not an assault on their freedom. It's what you need to do to live in a society. When we sent our kids to school, when we went to school, you had to have certain shots. We all got it.
All right.
Nobody
but you
complained.
Have the right to protest.
You
we
do.
Had the protest in Washington, D.C. by RFK.
Yes.
And they had sharpshooters on the roof saying, oh, this is going to be January 6th.
No. They had blowguns, and they were going to give everybody the vaccine. It was the anti-vax guys. You didn't look close enough.
Chris.
They literally were shooting everybody.
Our government
with
was
the
trying
vaccine.
To make it seem it was round two, January 6th. It wasn't Proud Boys. It wasn't.
I know you love the Who.
No, it was mothers who were upset that their children were being forced to get vaccinated.
It wasn't mothers, it was mother effers, okay? Let's be clear.
But
who was there.
That's the right of protest. You,
of course, and they were there protesting peacefully, and they weren't blocking traffic. They had a permit to protest at the mall, and they did it. That's why we put this mall
so
there.
Black Lives Matter and Antifa for an entire summer of 2020.
Right. And people were arrested every night. Every
cut loose.
Every single night.
Cut loose every day.
Every
disappearance
night, hundreds
tickets.
Of people were arrested. I didn't see Fox News running a banner all day long.
Every night.
400 people arrested
property.
In Black Lives
F
Matter
the
protests.
Police. Yeah. All cops are bastards. ACAB.
Yeah. Guess what? They didn't block commerce between two countries. They didn't do that. And when they did do that, they were arrested. And by the way, when they burnt things down, when they disrupted it like that, I called it out. Other mainstream Democrats called it out. It's nonsense. Okay,
you called it out. Must have been in a whisper. Because
I was right here.
Because
at this station,
many of the people who are in elected office now were painting Black Lives Matter every
Black
day
Lives
in
Matter
the streets
and
of America.
Black Lives Matter and burning down buildings are two separate.
By
things.
By the way, Black Lives Matter, a crooked nonprofit.
We'll be
crooked
back
nonprofit.
And we'll talk some more.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn, heavyweight slugfest.
That's right. Chris Hahn, the liberal you see on Fox News, and Curtis Sliwa, the man you see patrolling the streets.
Although I was with Jesse Waters the other day talking about the number one shoplifter in New York City.
Who's that? Who's the number one shoplifter?
Michelle Mybelle. This woman, what a corker she is. She said, I got to go to work every day.
Right.
And when I go before the judge, I got to have new clothes. She goes to Target and she steals the whole wardrobe.
Target, it's French.
And what happens is, and this is happening all over the country, you get arrested.
Right.
Petty larceny charge, misdemeanor.
Yeah.
But you plea right away to disorderly conduct. You don't tie up the court system. This way you don't have to come back. Judge, I just want to plead to disorderly. Everyone's happy.
Yep.
DA,
you
happy.
Pay a $25 fine, you're out of the door.
Not even.
50.
You blow, and then you return, and the judge said, didn't I just tell you to stay out of trouble? Yeah, I want to plead disorderly conduct. Boom. And this woman has 97 shoplifting arrests, and she's just nonstop. Nonstop and saying, look, this is my job. This is what I do. Meantime, she's getting SSI at the end of the month. She gets the SNAP card, you know, for the for the food.
Well,
SNAP.
What is she supposed to do? Starve?
No, but I'm just saying she has a license to steal, and
you,
this is happening
you
all
know
over
this
the country.
For sure, you're not slandering.
No,
woman.
I've seen her many times.
Yeah.
Target. She loves Target. You know,
she must have some wardrobe.
And she's very bold and brazen about it, but. Speaking of where the looting and the shoplifting just reached an epic proportion, it was downtown San Francisco. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I've been there many times.
I've had Guardian Angel patrols
love
there.
Love that city, by the way.
Tenderloin, Lower Tenderloin, Mission, you know, all the areas in downtown where they had all the department stores. They had to start closing stores because the looters and the
last
shoplifters.
Year, back in November, this was like the big story.
Right, and they're
it's not the story anymore.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is?
It continues to be.
All right.
The DA there is under recall. And then you had the Board of Education.
Education, yeah.
which its one focus was they were going to take 40 schools and rename them.
They were hopelessly incompetent, those people.
Well, they even wanted to rename an Abraham Lincoln school.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
This was their focus.
I'm glad, quite frankly, I'm glad that they were recalled as a progressive. And by the way, first of all, for the right-wingers out there thinking that this was some sort of right-wing revolution in San Francisco, there is no right-wing in San Francisco. I would be the right-wing in San Francisco. I'm to the left of most people on this planet. What happened in San Francisco was that everybody said, you know what, these people are incompetent. They can't get the schools open to get our kids back. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is open. Why aren't we open? Even New York City was open. The rest of the world was open. Why weren't our schools open? Meanwhile, they're focused on changing the name on schools and who gets into their best school in the district. It was nonsense.
Well,
they voted them out. They kicked them to the curb because progressives do not believe all of this. This is an inter-party fact. This is basically anybody over the age of 30 who's a liberal in this country thinks that this is nonsense. It needs to shut this down.
This reminds me of the wars in the 30s, although I wasn't birthed. The Stalinists versus the Trotskyites.
You say you weren't birthed.
And Trotsky ended up with a hatchet in his head in Mexico City. That's why Stalin prevailed. But they didn't accept defeat and regroup and say, okay, we went off on a tangent. They blame white supremacists. Now,
yeah,
Chris,
no, that's wrong.
They don't
the
even
mayor
have...
of San Francisco... I can't remember her name at the moment, but she's an African-American woman. She was voting them out.
Yes, but even in Bed Bath & Beyond, you can't find any white supremacists in San Francisco. They don't exist.
Right.
But they blame white supremacists, and you say
nonsense.
To yourself, understand, and this is a warning to all mayors across, because even Eric Adams, who got elected here, one of the things he said initially, he wants to change names of slaveholders, schools, edifices, street names. You want to bet he's going to take a second look at this and said, you know, I better not even approach this until I get all the kids back in school and the grades start to improve.
Well, look, if you were a Confederate general and your name is on a building in New York City or a street or a school, take it off now, right? You were a traitor to this country. I don't understand. You know, we don't have Osama bin Laden Middle School, who's also a terrorist.
I don't have a problem with that. But you know, so, when you say Abraham Lincoln,
you know, it's ridiculous.
George Washington.
Abraham Lincoln did not own slaves.
Thomas Jefferson.
Right. You know, the father of our country. Yes, he was not a perfect man. Right. But he did a lot of things that we still today rely on in this country.
He walked away from a monarchy.
Exactly.
He could have been king of America.
He could have been king.
An entire faction. The Alexander Hamilton faction, the capitalist faction, who said, man, you should be king.
Right.
Who the hell ever turns down being king? Except, as you know, there was that love story in Europe in which an American viper was able to lure a potential king away from his crown because she offered him temptations of the flesh like Adam and Eve.
What's her name? Simpson, right?
That's right.
Mrs. Simpson, and he was Edward. Edward, and I can't remember her first name.
That's right, but Nazi sympathizers on that also.
Yes, they were. They were, and I think they did a pretty good job of that.
He walked away from the crown. That's like unheard of.
You should watch The Crown on Netflix. They did a pretty good job not whitewashing that, right, about this guy and his Nazi sympathizer ways. They were very clear about it, and then they actually showed real photos of this guy with Hitler. It was, you know.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You watch Jeopardy every day. You
I don't watch
Seinfeld
every
reruns every night. And now Netflix specials.
And I watch a lot of sports.
What time do you have to do anything else?
I don't have
other
a lot
than,
of time.
Other than
I'm
binge
a media
watch.
Personality. I got to know what's going
on.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, barnacles on your backside from
around.
Watching Netflix.
We'll talk more.
It's the left versus the right.
All right.
Listen to this podcast now.
Oh, there we go. We're back, baby.
You see?
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa.
Another act of sabotage against the right.
I don't know. I think they were sabotaging me there. I turned it on myself now. I've figured it out.
Oh, manual operation.
Yeah, manual. Yeah. I'm working my own board.
Now, what's that vibe that they're playing behind us?
It's a little 90s music, man. That's a little Green Day.
Little
maybe 2000s, early 2000s.
Little Green Day. Huh?
Yeah, Green Day is one of the bands I've got to see. I am going to go see Paul McCartney in June. I'm going to bring my daughter, my 15-year-old, to see him. At MetLife, if I can get tickets.
So I shouldn't be attacking Paul McCartney.
I just like, I just find it funny that Tony Orlando is scolding you. That's did you ever think in your life when you were a kid growing up?
No, no, everybody loves Tony.
Tony Orlando was big when you were a kid, right?
Oh, huge,
right? So did you ever imagine that he one day would be yelling at you?
Well, not yelling, but correcting me, giving me constructive criticism. But the whole world was. My criticism of the Beatles was not received well by my wife, Nancy, who's a baby boomer.
Yeah.
We still don't know how
young
Nancy's
she is. Not a baby boomer. She's like a millennial or a Gen Xer.
Well, was she
You're
in her 30s?
A baby boomer.
But she loves the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
loves Paul.
Yeah.
I have it in for Paul because clearly one of my first loves chose Paul McCartney's picture over a picture of me.
There you go.
Bonnie Goldstein.
Do you blame her?
I think that was in fourth grade.
Honestly, you're an honest guy. You're honest with yourself. Do you blame her? I mean, come on. You know?
Oh, well, you're piling on.
Well, she wasn't the only one who changed her mind. We had a couple of other people change their mind this week. Why don't we go right to it?
It's the left versus the right.
Right, left, right, left, right, left. About face.
Well, I know you have some strong opinions this week about the man who we are going to accuse of the about face of the week.
Oh, this is a tremendous pirouette because I had inside information. I helped break this story, although I wasn't the first.
Right.
That our former mayor, that everyone loathes, despises, hates on the left, on the right.
Yeah, he'd get like, you know, 10% of the vote if he ran for mayor.
He's
again
a pariah. Yeah. Persona non grata. People had hoped that when he finally was out of office, Bill de Blasio, after 8 years, that he would move back to his city of origin, Boston, Cambridge.
Right.
He's not. He's staying here.
No.
And because of the redistricting of the congressional lines all over the country, here in New York, obviously, the Democrats rule, so it was pro-Democratic lines.
Right.
In the city of New York, we only have one congresswoman. That is Nicole Malliotakis.
And she's in danger now with these new lines, I would
These
think.
New lines yeah. definitely encompass more Democratic areas.
Right.
And so you had the previous congressman, who was a moderate Democrat, Max Rose, Afghan veteran, made the mistake of marching with a Black Lives Matter group on the precinct in Staten Island. That
right.
killed him.
Yeah.
And you have an AOC candidate, a DSA candidate in the Democratic primary, which would be quite a dogfight.
Max Rose is going to win that primary.
Right. But de Blasio, looking at the line, said, wow, this is my neighborhood, Park right. Slope, Sunset Park, and Gowanus. All people who voted for de Blasio. He was working the phones with the unions.
Right.
He was working the phones with his contributors.
And everybody's like, nah.
Yeah, but there were stories galore.
Yeah.
He wants to run because in a three-way primary, in a Democratic primary.
He would have came in fourth in a three-way primary.
Well, he could have done well, but then he decided to pull the plug. He had lined up support. They were all ready to announce their support. He was ready to have a press conference. And then I think Charlene, his wife, said, please, don't pull us through
not
this
only,
agony again.
Not only that, you know, while the lines are better for a Democrat for that seat.
Much better.
Malliotakis has a decent record in Washington. She didn't vote for the insurrection. She voted for the infrastructure bill, right? And she is an incumbent member of Congress. So it's not a slam dunk win. A guy like Max Rose, I think, can beat Malliotakis. I think you put de Blasio in there. I'm not voting for de Blasio. I don't live in that district.
No,
I wouldn't
that.
Vote for him.
I
mean,
but
I don't know that I would pull the lever for Malliotakis, but I would not be voting for him.
You have to understand that he was working hard. And de Blasio, remember.
Yeah.
I hate him, I loathe him, I despise him, but he knows how to pull people's strings. He is the reason that Eric Adams is the mayor today. He got all the unions to coalesce behind Eric Adams. They never badmouthed one another during the campaign.
Right.
Now, obviously, Eric Adams has had an epiphany. We're going to talk about that momentarily, how he's going to remove the homeless and emotionally disturbed and the criminals from the subway.
Well, it didn't take him too long to figure out that de Blasio really did screw this city up.
6 weeks, right.
Right, I mean, well, yeah.
But
he did.
This is the pirouette of the week. I thought for sure the over-under point spread was de Blasio was going to make a run because what else is he going to do if he's not in politics? Who's going to hire him in the private sector?
I mean, he's a smart guy. He was mayor of New York City. I'm sure there's something out there for him.
Oh, with Coffee Joe and Mika in the morning?
I mean, he did enough appearances on there for the over the years. You would think he was there every week. You thought he was a contributor when he was mayor.
Well,
the only thing that could get him up early.
Speaking of appearances, we saw the closing ceremonies of the Winter Games in Red China, Beijing. It had a huge mural in the sky. One family, we're all Austin, we, not I and me. You'd never know that by all the news that came out of this Winter Olympic Games, and especially that affected the Chinese athletes, whether they were Chinese athletes from America or Chinese athletes from the mainland.
Right.
And you were more focused on the Winter Olympic Games than I was.
Well, I love sports. You know that. And I watched a lot of it. And I was very impressed with the athleticism. Obviously, the politics of these games really, it disturbed me. There was a lot of people on the right in this country attacking the skier Eileen Gu.
Eileen Gu.
Eileen Gu. She was born and raised in California, learned how to ski here. With summer in China, her mother is Chinese. Decided to compete for China in these games. Best freestyle skier in the world.
Not our China, Taiwan, a.k.a. Formosa.
Right.
Mainland China.
Mainland
China,
China, Red China. And why?
Why would she do that?
Well, it's fine. It's kind of an ironic reason, right? She decided to compete for China because there was more money in advertising endorsements by competing in China.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Big Red time. Chinese, look, they spent billions on this Olympic Games. It was billions.
It was a 10 to 1, maybe even more. Like, you know, maybe she would have made $1 million, $2 million in the United States. She's going to make about $100 million. Now, your lifespan as an athlete is very brief, especially the sport she does. She's a freestyle skier. She could be done one bad fall and she's done. They're like 20 feet above a half pipe, which is also 20 feet above the ground.
Well,
you missed that
wall.
We saw
that with, remember, the girlfriend of Tiger Woods for a while.
Yeah. Lindsey Vonn.
Right, Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn was a downhill skier. Which
but she had so many crashes that it eventually impaired her. She now has injuries as a result.
Yeah.
Lifetime injuries as a result. And she was an excellent skier.
I mean, I'm hearing all these right-wing people talking about how bad it is that she's competing for China. Okay, well, if it's bad for her to compete for China, it's bad for Walmart to get all of its products from China. It's bad for Apple to be building its phones in China. It's bad for us, you and I. We both have iPhones. You have two iPhones. It's bad for us to be buying these products.
What are you trying to say? I'm like a drug dealer because I have two iPhones?
Why am I putting more of a burden on Elaine Gu, who's got a very short window of time to make money? Why can't she be a capitalist?
She is a traditor, as we would say. She is a Judas.
No, she's not.
She opted to side with the communist
Chinese. I think it's the most capitalist thing she could have done. It's the most American thing she could have done, if you think about it. Doesn't she have a right to go make as much money as she can?
Look at the reverse. You had Nathan Chen.
Yep, Nathan
Chen. Figure skating champion.
Yep, watched it. Great.
He had the American flag behind him. He's skating around
and
because
the
he won the gold.
They were very...
Oh, the trolls from Red China were all over this guy. I mean, it's lucky he could get out of that country after the closing ceremonies today.
This time next year, when they do those reports, the Forbes will do a report of the richest athletes, right? Who made the most money last year? We will see that Elaine Gu will have made, I would say, close to 100, if not north of $100 million. And Nathan Chen, I would be shocked if he made even $10 million.
So this is all about the money.
It's all about
the
money.
Yen, which, all about
which,
the yen,
which if you believe in our system, if you're a capitalist, which I am, she made the right choice.
Man, what is wrong with you?
I mean, look, I would have loved to see her compete for the United States of America. She's fantastic.
Let me take
She's by far and away the best in the world.
Let me
at what
take you back to the Cold War, which most of our listeners can relate to. That's when everybody was focused on the Winter Olympic Games, Lake Placid, upstate New York, Soviet Union hockey team
like
versus Americans, you know, amateurs versus professionals. That's not when you had any.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Right, right. Okay.
I did a Marv Albert, not
imagine a. Imagine if somebody born here, and there are Russian Americans.
Yep.
And Vladimir Putin now said, come on over here, endorsement. You know, you'll be.
By the way, it wasn't the Chinese offering her the endorsements. It was Toyota.
I know.
It was Red Bull.
Understood.
It was Sony.
But
it was American companies.
With the blessing of President who, what's on second? I don't know who's on third. Right.
President Xi.
With the blessing.
Xi Jinping.
Nothing happens without the blessing.
Who was the guy before him? Who? Xi? What?
That's a good Jeopardy question, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why I watch it. I'm good at it.
But the point being is, just in the midst of the Cold War, if Khrushchev had done that, who said he would bury us, against our athlete, and it convinced somebody of Russian origin who was born in America to play for the Soviet team. I mean, that would have been all hell.
I'm sorry. I know we like to pretend we're in a Cold War with China, but we're not. And every single person listening to this show right now, every single person criticizing Elaine Gu has bought a product from China. It's probably holding one right now as they listen to us. So unless we want to give up all of our Chinese products, and if we want to stop with our cheap phones and our cheap TVs, why am I holding this woman more
accountable? I got to share with you a story.
We're not in the same situation with China.
I almost had a fight with Stephon Marbury. Remember the great basketball player coming out of Coney Island?
That would not have been good.
He played professionally, but didn't live up to the hype of high school and college. I think he played Georgia Tech a year or two and then came into the pros.
Georgetown.
So
was it Georgia Tech? I think.
I can't remember. We'll compete on it.
Yeah. It was Georgia Tech. You're right. We got a quick way.
But it was only like a year. You know, they snatched him up into the pros. And then eventually played for the hometown Knicks. Never delivered to what we anticipated.
Hard.
In Red China, this superstar guy is Michael Jordan. They have a statue of him outside of the stadium. So he's in a restaurant in New York with a woman that I don't know who she is. Nice woman. Came up, had a conversation with me. I'm with Congressman King and Congressman Fasella at the time, Peter Fasella.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mad dogging this guy like, you traitor, you're over there accepting red Chinese stuff. Oh yeah, and then he's mad dogging me. We almost got into a fight.
He's like, who made that jacket you're wearing, Curtis? You think you got that $5 jacket at Walmart because it was made in the United States?
That's exactly what he said. And everybody was terrified. They were ducking for cover.
Duck for cover! We'll be right back.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Ah, well, AC/DC. This is like your stuff.
This is good stuff.
Yeah.
AC/DC from the land down under.
Yeah, man.
Totally in your face. Now, no drinking. We don't want anybody to die from choking on their excess of phlegm.
You know, it's funny. For years, I always thought it was Dirty Deeds Thunder Chief. I didn't know it was Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap till like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
It's like one of those songs.
Like Hell's Bells.
Pulling muscles from Michelle, I used to think was pulling muscles with Michelle. No joke. Till I was in college. I was like, I was singing it. My friend's like, what are you talking about? It's pulling muscles. What are you saying?
Well, let's flip the script from music to high noon
in
New York City. So Eric Adams is at his honeymoon. He beat me, and the issue was Law and Order. He ran on a Law and Order platform. I ran on a Law and Order platform. The people chose him.
Yes.
He said right out of the box he was going to do something about the overwhelming crime problem everywhere in the city.
Yes.
And he faltered. He didn't have a plan in effect. He announced a plan to deal with the subway problem, which is enormous. You have emotionally disturbed persons living there. You got homeless people living there. You have gangs who go down and prey on people there.
Yep, bad.
And you have the random crime that typically afflicts people. They're trying to get people to come back and ride the subway. They just reached about 3 million riders. But it still pales in comparison to the 5.5 million daily riders they had before
the commuters are not back in the city riding the trains anymore. They're just not.
But the majority of the workers are women. And from my conversations with women, even though it costs them a lot of coin, Uber, Lyft, the apps, they still do not feel safe down in the subway. Mm. And nightlife cannot return because, look, you can't have nightlife without women. I mean, bars, nightclubs depend on women being at these facilities because then it attracts the men.
Yeah.
And women are afraid to travel out at night. So the mayor knows this makes or breaks his Law and Order platform. He used to be a transit cop in the first 10 years of his existence. So he knows what a patrol of a subway system it must consist of. And he announced a whole series of measures. They're going to remove the homeless, the emotionally disturbed, not forcibly. They're going to convince them to leave, get them the services they need, and they're going to crack down on crime. Problem is, at the end of it, after he's flexing and he's saying, we're taking back the subways, you're going to swipe your card, pay your fare, and then get to your destination unmolested, but we're not going to arrest anybody. And I'm saying to him, I said, Eric, you are a transit cop. If people didn't think they faced the prospect of arrest or being ticketed, and you'd have to show ID for a ticket, in many instances, they'll just flip you off and not listen to you.
Well,
then what do you do?
They don't really know, right, that they're not going to get arrested. When a cop approaches you and you disobey the cop, you don't know if they're not ordered to arrest you.
Yeah, but you understand everything is on film now. The mayor has said people will not be arrested. Now, if you tell the cops, F off, I'm not leaving. Mm. I'm staying right here.
Right.
This is my right. what are the cops to do? I mean, then they appear to be impotent because they're going to have health care workers with them. They're even using school nurses. School nurses can't even give you a St. Joseph baby aspirin without permission of parents or guardians.
So what you're learning here and what we're discussing is this is hard, right? This is hard work being mayor. These problems are difficult to resolve. We have competing forces in the city of New York. People, but competing ideas. People want the subways clear of the homeless. They want the homeless to be cared for and not being exploited, as you said, by the gangs and others who are preying on the people down there who are mostly mentally ill, right? And they want law and order, but they don't want to see a police crackdown. They don't want to see cops down there with nightsticks beating people up and getting into paddy wagons. It's tough.
The reason it's high noon
it's hard work.
Is that Eric Adams, the mayor, has anointed himself the face, the new face of the Democratic Party.
Mm.
The moderate Democrat, not the DSA, AOC-style
right.
Democrat. Different than the mayor in Philadelphia, in Baltimore, in D.C., in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco. If he does not succeed, there'll be no pressure on these other mayors to use similar measures to deal with their emotionally disturbed, their homeless issues, which are enormous.
There will be pressure on everyone to succeed in these issues. Because quality of life issues are always what drives local politics. It's why Eric Adams is the mayor, and we didn't get somebody to the left of Eric Adams who wouldn't have tried anything to try to clean up the quality of life issues down in the subway, the crime, the homelessness, the graffiti, the smoking, and everything else that's going on down there. So, yeah, I think, look, he's going to try it this way.
Well,
and if it doesn't
you know
work this
gonna
way,
happen.
He's
going to
go to plan
let me
B.
predict what's going to happen, because I deal with this all the time.
You
I'm
do.
In the subways. Somebody will object to being told they have to leave the system. They will fight. The police have to defend themselves.
They
have
do.
To protect healthcare workers and the school nurses. And it's the optics are going to look horrible.
It's going to be bad.
And then we'll see if this mayor is going to defend his police or side with the civil libertarians.
Well, that was what we will find out. We'll be back.
Listen to It's the Left versus the Right.
All right.
Listen to this podcast now.
Oh, there we go. We're back, baby.
You see?
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa.
Another act of sabotage against the right.
I don't know. I think they were sabotaging me there. I turned it on myself. Now I've figured it out.
Oh, manual operation.
Yeah, manual. Yeah. I'm working my own board.
Now, what's that vibe that they're playing behind us?
It's a little 90s music, man. That's a little Green Day.
Little
maybe 2000s, early 2000s.
Little Green Day, huh?
Yeah, Green Day is one of the bands I've got to see. I am going to go see Paul McCartney in June. I'm going to bring my daughter, my 15-year-old, to see him at MetLife, if I can get tickets.
So I shouldn't be attacking Paul McCartney?
I just find it funny that Tony Orlando is scolding you. Did you ever think in your life when you were a kid growing up?
No, everybody loves Tony.
Tony Orlando was big when you were a kid, right?
Oh,
huge, right? So did you ever imagine that he one day would be yelling at you?
Well, not yelling, but correcting me, giving me constructive criticism. But the whole world was. My criticism of the Beatles was not received well by my wife, Nancy, who's a baby boomer.
Yeah.
We still don't know how
young
Nancy's
she is. Not a baby boomer. She's like a millennial or a Gen Xer.
Well, was she
You're
in her
30s? A baby boomer.
But she loves the Beatles.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Paul.
Yeah.
I have it in for Paul because clearly one of my first loves chose Paul McCartney's picture over a picture of me.
There you go.
Bonnie Goldstein.
Do you blame her?
I think that was in fourth grade.
Honestly, you're an honest guy. You're honest with yourself. Do you blame her? I mean, come on. You know?
Well, you're piling on.
Well, she wasn't the only one who changed her mind. We had a couple of other people change their mind this week. Why don't we go right to it?
It's the left versus the right.
Right, left, right, left, right, left. About face.
Well, I know you have some strong opinions this week about the man who we are going to accuse of the about face of the week.
Oh, this is a tremendous pirouette because I had inside information. I helped break this story, although I wasn't the first.
Right.
That our former mayor, that everyone loathes, despises, hates on the left, on the right.
Yeah, he'd get like, 10% of the vote if he ran for mayor.
He's
again
a pariah.
Today.
Persona non grata. People had hoped that when he finally was out of office, Bill de Blasio, after 8 years, that he would move back to his city of origin, Boston, Cambridge.
Right.
He's not. He's staying here.
No.
And because of the redistricting of the congressional lines all over the country, Here in New York, obviously, the Democrats rule, so it was pro-Democratic lines.
Right.
In the city of New York, we only have one congresswoman. That is Nicole Malliotakis.
And she's in danger now with these new lines, I would
think. These new lines definitely encompass more Democratic areas.
Right.
And so you had the previous congressman, who was a moderate Democrat, Max Rose, Afghan veteran, made the mistake of marching with a Black Lives Matter group on the precinct in Staten Island. That
right.
killed him.
Yeah.
And you have an AOC candidate, a DSA candidate in the Democratic primary, which would be quite a dogfight.
Max Rose is going to win that primary.
Right. But de Blasio, looking at the line, said, wow, this is my neighborhood, Park right. Slope, Sunset Park, and Gowanus. All people who voted for de Blasio. He was working the phones with the unions.
Right.
He was working the phones with his contributors.
And everybody's like, nah.
Yeah, but there were stories galore.
Yeah.
He wants to run because in a three-way primary, in a Democratic primary.
He would have came in fourth in a three-way primary.
Well, he could have done well, but then he decided to pull the plug. He had lined up support. They were all ready to announce their support. He was ready to have a press conference. And then I think Charlene, his wife, said, please, don't pull us through
not
this
only,
agony again.
Not only that, you know, while the lines are better for a Democrat for that seat.
Much better.
Malliotakis has a decent record in Washington. She didn't vote for the insurrection. She voted for the infrastructure bill, right? And she is an incumbent member of Congress. So it's not a slam dunk win. A guy like Max Rose, I think, can beat Malliotakis. I think you put de Blasio in there. I'm not voting for de Blasio. I don't live in that district.
No,
I wouldn't
that.
Vote for him.
I mean,
I don't know that I would pull the lever for Malliotakis, but I would not be voting for him.
You have to understand that he was working hard. And de Blasio, remember.
Yeah.
I hate him, I loathe him, I despise him, but he knows how to pull people's strings. He is the reason that Eric Adams is the mayor today. He got all the unions to coalesce behind Eric Adams. They never badmouthed one another during the campaign.
Right.
Now, obviously, Eric Adams has had an epiphany. We're going to talk about that momentarily, how he's going to remove the homeless and emotionally disturbed and the criminals from the subway.
Well, it didn't take him too long to figure out that de Blasio really did screw this city up.
Six weeks, right.
I mean,
But
he did.
This is the pirouette of the week. I thought for sure the over-under point spread was de Blasio was going to make a run because what else is he going to do if he's not in politics? Who's going to hire him in the private sector?
I mean, he's a smart guy. He was mayor of New York City. I'm sure there's something out there for him.
Oh, with Coffee Joe and Mika in the morning?
I mean, he did enough appearances on there for the over the years. You would think he was there every week. You thought he was a contributor when he was mayor.
Well,
the only thing that could get him up early.
Speaking of appearances, we saw the closing ceremonies of the Winter Games in Red China, Beijing. It had a huge mural in the sky. One family, we're all Austin, we not I and me. You'd never know that by all the news that came out of this Winter Olympic Games, and especially that affected the Chinese athletes, whether they were Chinese athletes from America or Chinese athletes from
right.
the mainland.
Right.
And you were more focused on the Winter Olympic Games
I
was.
Well, I love sports. You know that. And I watched a lot of it. And I was very impressed with the athleticism. Obviously, the politics of these games really, it disturbed me. There was a lot of people on the right in this country attacking the skier Eileen Gu.
Eileen Gu.
Eileen Gu. She was born and raised in California, learned how to ski here. With summer in China, her mother is Chinese. Decided to compete for China in these games. Best freestyle skier in the world.
Not our China, Taiwan, a.k.a. Formosa.
Right.
Mainland China.
And why?
Why would she do that?
Well, it's kind of an ironic reason, right? She decided to compete for China because there was more money in advertising endorsements by competing in China.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the
Big
Red
time.
Chinese, look, they spent billions on this Olympic Games. It was billions.
It was a 10 to 1, maybe even more. Like, you know, maybe she would have made $1 million, $2 million in the United States. She's going to make about $100 million. Now, your lifespan as an athlete is very brief, especially the sport she does. She's a freestyle skier. She could be done one bad fall and she's done. They're like 20 feet above a half pipe, which is also 20 feet above the ground.
Well,
you missed that
wall.
We saw
that with, remember, the girlfriend of Tiger Woods for a while.
Yeah. Lindsey Vonn.
Right, Lindsey Vonn.
Lindsey Vonn was a downhill skier. Which
right, but she had so many crashes that it impaired her. She now has injuries as a result.
Yeah.
Lifetime injuries as a result. And she was an excellent skier.
I mean, I'm hearing all these right-wing people talking about how bad it is that she's competing for China. Okay, well, if it's bad for her to compete for China, it's bad for Walmart to get all of its products from China. It's bad for Apple to be building its phones in China. It's bad for us, you and I. We both have iPhones. You have two iPhones. It's bad for us to be buying these products.
What are you trying to say? I'm like a drug dealer because I have two iPhones?
Why am I putting more of a burden on Elaine Gu, who's got a very short window of time to make money? Why can't she be a capitalist?
She is a traitor, as we would say. She is a Judas.
No, she's not.
She opted to side with the communist Chinese.
I think it's the most capitalist thing she could have done. It's the most American thing she could have done, if you think about it. Doesn't she have a right to go make as much money as she can?
Look at the reverse. You had Nathan Chen.
Yep, Nathan
Chen. Figure skating champion.
Yep, watched it. Great.
He had the American flag behind him. He's skating around and because he won the gold.
They were very...
Oh, the trolls from Red China were all over this guy. I mean, it's lucky he could get out of that country after the closing ceremonies today.
This time next year... When they do those reports, the Forbes will do a report of the richest athletes, right? Who made the most money last year? We will see that Elaine Gu will have made, I would say, close to 100, if not north of $100 million. And Nathan Chen, I would be shocked if he made even $10 million.
So this is all about the money.
It's all about
the
money.
Yen, which, all about
which,
the yen.
Which, if you believe in our system, if you're a capitalist, which I am, she made the right choice.
Man, what is wrong with you?
I mean, look, I would have loved to see her compete for the United States of America. She's fantastic.
Let me take
She's by far and away the best in the world.
Let me
at what
take you back to the Cold War, which most of our listeners can relate to. That's when everybody was focused on the Winter Olympic Games, Lake Placid, upstate New York, Soviet Union hockey team
like
versus Americans, you know, amateurs versus professionals. That's not when you had any.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Right, right. Okay.
I did a Marv Albert, not
imagine
a.
Imagine if somebody born here, and there are. Russian Americans.
Yep.
And Vladimir Putin now said, come on over here, endorsement. You know, you'll be.
By the way, it wasn't the Chinese offering her the endorsements. It was Toyota.
I know.
It was Red Bull.
Understood.
It was Sony.
But
it was American companies.
With the blessing of President who, what's on second? I don't know who's on third. Right.
President Xi.
With the blessing.
Xi Jinping.
Nothing happens without the blessing.
Who was the guy before him? Who? Xi? What?
That's a good Jeopardy question, right?
Yeah. Well, that's why I watch it. I'm good at it.
But the point being is, just in the midst of the Cold War, if Khrushchev had done that, who said he would bury us against our athlete, and he convinced somebody of Russian origin who was born in America to play for the Soviet team, I mean, that would have been all hell.
I'm sorry. I know we like to pretend we're in a Cold War with China, but we're not. And every single person listening to this show right now, every single person criticizing Elaine Gu has bought a product from China. It's probably holding one right now as they listen to us. So unless we want to give up all of our Chinese products, and if we want to stop with our cheap phones and our cheap TVs, why am I holding this woman more
accountable? I got to share with you a story.
We're not in the same situation with China.
I almost had a fight with Stephon Marbury. Remember the great basketball player coming out of Coney Island?
That would not have been good.
He played professionally but didn't live up to the hype of high school and college. I think he played Georgia Tech a year or two and then came into the pros.
Georgetown.
So,
was it Georgia Tech? I
think.
I can't remember.
We'll compete on
that. It was Georgia Tech. You're right. We got a quick win.
But it was only like a year. You know, they snatched him up into the pros. And then eventually played for the hometown Knicks. Never delivered to what we anticipated.
Hard.
In Red China, this guy is Michael Jordan. They have a statue of him outside of the stadium. So he's in a restaurant in New York with a woman that I don't know who she is. Nice woman. Came up, had a conversation with me. I'm with Congressman King and Congressman Fasella at the time, Vito Fasella.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mad dogging this guy like, you traitor, you're over there accepting red Chinese stuff. Oh, yeah, and then he's mad dogging me. We almost got into a fight.
He's like, who made that jacket you're wearing, Curtis? You think you got that $5 jacket at Walmart it was made in the United States?
That's exactly what he said. And everybody was terrified. They were ducking for cover.
Duck for cover! We'll be right back.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. Christopher Hahn.
Ah, well, AC/DC. This is like your stuff.
This is good stuff.
Yeah.
AC/DC from the land down under.
Yeah, man.
Totally in your face. Now, no drinking. We don't want anybody to die from choking on their excess of phlegm.
You know, it's funny. For years, I always thought it was Dirty Deeds Thunder Chief. I didn't know it was Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap till like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
It's like one of those songs.
Like Hell's Bells.
Pulling muscles from Michelle, I used to think was pulling muscles with Michelle. No joke. Till I was in college. I was like, I was singing it. My friend's like, what are you talking about? It's pulling muscles. What are you saying?
Well, let's flip the script from music to High Noon
in
New York City. So Eric Adams is at his honeymoon. He beat me, and the issue was Law and Order. He ran on a Law and Order platform. I ran on a Law and Order platform. The people chose him.
Yes.
He said right out of the box he was going to do something about the overwhelming crime problem everywhere in the city.
Yes.
And he faltered. He didn't have a plan in effect. He announced a plan to deal with the subway problem, which is enormous. You have emotionally disturbed persons living there. You got homeless people living there. You have gangs who go down and prey on people there.
Yep, bad.
And you have the random crime that typically afflicts people. They're trying to get people to come back and ride the subway. They just reached about 3 million riders, but it still pales in comparison to the 5.5 million daily riders they had before
the commuters are not back in the city riding the trains anymore. They're just not.
But the majority of the workers are women. And from my conversations with women, even though it costs them a lot of coin, Uber, Lyft, the apps, they still do not feel safe down in the subway. Mm. And nightlife cannot return because, look, you can't have nightlife without women. I mean, bars, nightclubs depend on women being at these facilities because then it attracts the men.
Yeah.
And women are afraid to travel out at night. So the mayor knows. This makes or breaks his Law and Order platform. He used to be a transit cop in the first 10 years of his existence, so he knows what a patrol of a subway system it must consist of. And he announced a whole series of measures. They're going to remove the homeless, the emotionally disturbed, not forcibly. They're going to convince them to leave, get them the services they need, and they're going to crack down on crime. Problem is, at the end of it, after he's flexing and he's saying, we're taking back the subways, you're going to swipe your card, pay your fare, and then get to your destination unmolested, but we're not going to arrest anybody. And I'm saying to him, I said, Eric, you were a transit cop. If people didn't think they faced the prospect of arrest or being ticketed, and you'd have to show ID for a ticket, in many instances, they'll just flip you off and not listen to you.
Well,
then what do you do?
They don't really know, right, that they're not going to get arrested. When a cop approaches you and you disobey the cop, you don't know if they're not ordered to arrest you.
Yeah, but you understand everything is on film now. The mayor has said people will not be arrested. Now, if you tell the cops, F off, I'm not leaving. Mm. I'm staying right here.
Right.
This is my right. What are the cops to do? I mean, then they appear to be impotent because they're going to have health care workers with them. They're even using school nurses. School nurses can't even give you a St. Joseph baby aspirin without permission of parents or guardians.
So what you're learning here and what we're discussing is this is hard, right? This is hard work being mayor. These problems are difficult to resolve. We have competing forces in the city of New York. Competing ideas. People want the subways clear of the homeless. They want the homeless to be cared for and not being exploited, as you said, by the gangs and others who are preying on the people down there who are mostly mentally ill, right? And they want law and order, but they don't want to see a police crackdown. They don't want to see cops down there with nightsticks beating people up and getting into paddy wagons.
The reason it's High Noon is that Eric Adams, the mayor, has anointed himself the face, the new face of the Democratic Party.
Mm.
The moderate Democrat, not the DSA, AOC-style Democrat. Different than the mayor in Philadelphia, in Baltimore, in D.C., in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco. If he does not succeed, there'll be no pressure on these other mayors to use similar measures to deal with their emotionally disturbed, their homeless issues, which are enormous.
There will be pressure on everyone to succeed in these issues. Because quality of life issues are always what drives local politics. It's why Eric Adams is the mayor, and we didn't get somebody to the left of Eric Adams who wouldn't have tried anything to try to clean up the quality of life issues down in the subway, the crime, the homelessness, the graffiti, the smoking, and everything else that's going on down there. So, yeah, I think, look, he's going to try it this way.
Well,
and if it doesn't
you know
work
what's
this way,
happen.
He's
you know,
going to go
let,
to plan
let me
B.
predict what's going to happen, because I deal with this all the time. I'm in the subways. Somebody will object to being told they have to leave the system. They will fight. The police have to defend themselves,
they have
to protect healthcare workers and the school nurses. And it's the optics are going to look horrible.
It's going to be bad.
And then we'll see if this mayor is going to defend his police or side with the civil libertarians.
Well, that was what we will find out. We'll be back.
Listen to